30 this week. Don't clap. This is not happy clappy time. This is bullshit. I don't want to be 30. This is where I am at 30. Like, I work at a call center, people. This is not where I'm supposed to be.
All right, wow, we're right in. Nice and easy, nice and good like that. This is Amateur Hour, episode 25. I am Frank Pantano. To my left is Michael, Clean Your Sheets Cooper. Today we have a very special guest, very awesome dude from the Working It Out podcast, straight Nate Evangelista, stand-up comic, improv not the best dude. What's up, Nate? Welcome to Amateur Hour.
Yes, thanks for having me. What's up? Straight Nate in the house, a.k.a. Nathan Evangelista, a.k.a. Young Pino, a.k.a. Mr. McJuicy. A.K.A. guy voted most to be all up in your girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, boy.
Nate's voice is so deep, both of our balls just dropped. Like, just now. Like, unbelievably just down to the button.
It's natural. Yeah.
So, what's up, Nate? How you doing, man? What was your day like?
My day was fucking boring. How was yours?
It was all right. I didn't have to wake up at 5:40 in the fucking morning for work.
That's
like
what I have to be at work. Yeah. Fucking, I got to wake up at 5. Not cool, not boast.
Yeah. You're going to work it out, though?
Shout out. 5 hours from now. Yeah. That's all right.
That's insane. We do these late night. We do these midnight podcasts at this point. Wow. Early on gong.
Hit
the gong. Shout out to Brian Kohatsu. Yeah. He appreciated that we called him Ching Chong in the last podcast. Yeah. Check this out, though, before we get into it. I got a fucking ticket tonight.
Oh, that sucks.
Like
that
a
sucks.
Parking ticket or like a lottery like a fuck, ticket?
Like speeding ticket.
A speeding ticket.
Oh, that's
wasn't nice. A speeding ticket, but I'm driving out to the Shout House at Glendale, and the cop pulls up next to me on his motorcycle. He's like, pull over, and I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, shit.
And it sucked, yeah. He pulled me over, and he was a super dick. He like, I have my window down, and I said, how's it going? He said, excuse me? I said, well, how's it going? He said, you know what you were doing wrong? I was like, well, obviously. He was like, you're going fucking 85 in a 65. He didn't say fucking. And he just like laid it on me. He was just a super dick about the whole thing. But I ended up getting a ticket for like not having a seatbelt on and whatever else. But I thought like, God, how fucking shitty. Like, I don't know. It's just a shitty thing to happen. Have you guys gotten a ticket?
I have.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Well, I mean, what was it for and how much did it cost?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, there's just the no registration in the car.
Yeah.
But, the notable one was probably...
He said that like that's so like, you know, yeah. Well, you know, I had there's no, just I had, no... I just don't register my car, yeah. So like, I don't...
Well, there's...
I,
yeah, he said, there's the obvious no registration in the car.
It's not that I'm not registered, I just don't have it on me.
Yeah.
So I have to go show him at court.
I didn't have my insurance, I got a ticket for that, not having proof of insurance, yeah.
They'll give me like a week or two after my shit expires and...
Did you go to the court?
Oh, shit, I think my shit's expiring and... At the end of this month.
Really?
God, we brought this up, guys.
You better brush up on it, man, boys. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Get registered, kids.
Yeah. I got a ticket for that. And I was just so bummed out. I was just like, why do you have to get fucking tickets? And I was imagining, I looked at it, the tickets were $50. Like, I have to pay $50. And if I go show proof of insurance, I'm off for that one. But I just know that it was going to be like two whole paychecks. Yeah. You know, like, it costs so much fucking money. You know, it's ridiculous. Nate, you do stand-up comedy.
I try.
You try? How old are you?
How do you think I am?
Shout out Rachel. Well, you take this. You take this, Cooper. How old do you think Nate Evangelista is?
I was going to say the same answer. 26.
26?
Oh, shit. I'm 30.
30?
Yes, sir.
You old ass.
Yeah, oh, motherfucker.
You old ass. 30 years old.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
Almost 3 years. First class I took, it was July 4th is kind of my anniversary because that's the first time I took a class.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hit my rock bottom and I knew there was a class and it was a Sunday and it's like, I know it's a holiday. I doubt anybody's going to be there.
Yeah.
What does your rock bottom consist of?
And I like how Nate said it's kind of his anniversary, not the country's. So, you know, like kind of his personal anniversary.
Yeah, I kind of took it over on that day. But I kind of have two anniversaries because that's the one I made the decision to do comedy, but I didn't get on stage until like a couple months later. And
July 4th, you made the decision to do comedy.
Yeah.
Very, declared your independence, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I got to try something.
Yeah. At 27 years old, you felt like you were like, I just got to fucking do something. That's weird. And why did you go to comedy? That's where like people think you're fucking pathetic. Like, you look at you crazy bastard getting on stage talking about shit. You know?
Because you realize you're a fucking crazy bastard.
Exactly,
and everyone's a crazy bastard. You might as well just go talk to them.
Shout out, clean your bed sheets.
I started doing it because I had nobody else to talk to. And you mean a crowd full of people? No. No, for real, I...
It's all right, Nate. It's a little depressing. We all know. No, we're all kind of the same thing.
I just came here to be in a room with two other living people. You're real, right? Let me touch you. He's real. No, I have always loved comedy since I started laughing and grew up. My family grew up stealing
was
HBO.
Was that July 4th? Did you start your...
This is a celebration of his first laugh. That was Nate felt that feeling. Yeah. You're his like, voice was actually too deep to emit an actual laughter. Yeah,
right. No, even before I could had the deep voice, like age six, stealing HBO, watching the Def Jam comedy jam thing. Yeah. Why can't I talk? Def
you
Jam.
You stole HBO at age six.
At age well, six,
not me
yeah,
personally. And watched Def Comedy Jam.
I just took advantage of it.
Yeah.
Are you Hispanic?
I am Filipino. My dad is straight from Manila. My mom's American, but she's got Russian descent. So you could.
Filipino is. Got some smarts.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's how you're stealing cable. But Hispanics, they teach it down through generation, dude. There's no
what do they teach
there.
Down, Michael Cooper? Let's hear
how
about
to
this
steal
real.
Shit, motherfucker.
I don't know if we're really known for our smarts because, I mean, we're not Korean or Chinese. We're not doing the math shit. We're just fucking catching fish and boxing and that's about it.
You are, this like, forgotten about. You're, like, yeah. You're forgotten Pino or whatever it is. You're just, like, not even really acknowledged. Like, no one ever talks about Filipino people.
No, it's just, like, one of those things because we don't even really procreate with each other. We don't even, you don't see Filipino couples anymore.
Poor Filipino. You talk about the food. I noticed you, people suck duck eggs. I've sucked a duck egg out. I know that's, that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, my dad loves fucking duck. They got duck. He's ordering it. There's no social weird food. It's going to be looking at you with the mm-hmm. eyes. I don't know why you can't just cut the head off, be civilized, but yeah. They like to have the food fucking looking at him.
Yeah.
So I try and put, like, pepper on the eye, black it out, go to sleep. I don't want to see this.
It's like a it's like a respect thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm going to fucking, it's going to look like, me in the eyes while I yeah. eat it.
Act
because,
of humanity.
Yeah.
Or animal manity.
Animal manity, no. Yeah. No, there's an animal called a manatee. That's what you were trying to say, honey. Yeah. It's a Filipino accent. It's hard to understand sometimes.
Fucking animal manity. I'm going to yeah. take that on.
Yeah.
I think, like...
Animanity.
Stay with me right now. It's probably going to take us this whole show to answer the first question.
We get back to it. The idea is... The idea is you cast out a line,
yeah.
and you just try and catch a fish. This whole show's about trying to catch a fish.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ayo, can I build on that real fast? Bold. I was thinking the other day how fucking ridiculous this is. I might have told you a little bit about this, Michael Cooper, but Nate Evangelista,
yes.
It's ridiculous. Me and Dave Kreinbrink, shout out, had a very funny conversation about the story of Jesus and the 5,000 loaves of bread and the 2,000 pounds of fish, whatever it is that was written down on the hemp paper. Yeah, man.
It's a lot of food.
Yeah, it's a lot of food. It just sounds to me like he was just like, a great baker and an even better fisherman. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see a miracle there. I see him. He was like, wait 8 hours. And then he got a bunch of people from another village and did all that shit and came back, you know? Like, he didn't have giant fish or huge bread. He just got more of what they already had. And
interesting.
Not to mention, what the fuck were all these 5,000 people he fed doing? Not baking and not fishing, you know? They should have just fucking been out doing the shit that he had, yeah. You know?
Instead, they were waiting for him. They were depending on him
right.
instead of just going out and doing it themselves.
It's a terrible message. A terrible message yeah. is this. Wait around long enough. Eventually, you know, someone might show up and multiply fish.
Someone might come and save you.
It's a fucking yeah. terrible message, you know?
Look out for, like, way yeah. too much fish.
Yeah. Look at
yeah. guy.
Too much.
But, there's some comedian. I can't remember who, but they have a joke. Like, what if Jesus, you know, he was just the first guy to invent stilts.
Yeah.
Walking on that water. Tricking everybody.
Yeah, it's probably what it is.
But I want to know, like, did he? What was his gesture? Was he doing the bewitched twitch? Do you like a point?
Yeah.
Like, how did he make that magic happen?
There was a very funny clip on Family Guy, and I wouldn't bring this show up, but this to me made me really laugh. It showed it was like, yeah, you know, like Jesus and all his magic tricks, and he cut back and he had two balls. He was going like na 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 na, and then he like threw a blanket over another one, and like another ball appeared, and everyone was like, oh! And it was just because yeah. they believed, you know, the magic of it, you know.
I understand.
Yes. All right, so shout out Christianity, Catholicism. Let's get the religions out of the way. Nate, so you...
I know this is a big Christian yeah. demographic.
It is, yep. Good.
We're yeah. all in God's house here, guys.
Yes, this is God's house. This
is this a house, or we're in like a weird basement quasi
room?
What
basement.
The fuck is this kind of place?
Yeah.
It's cheap. That's yep. what it's called.
It's cheap,
is
but...
Is this the living room?
This is, yeah.
right now it is.
Studio slash acid... fest.
One night, me and Coop, we used to put the podcast upstairs, and we actually talked about this on the pool table upstairs. And yeah. One night, I don't remember what it was, me and you had like an awakening. We had like the bread of Christ, and we had some wine, and we really enjoyed ourselves. We started hanging up paintings down here, put this table, screwed these microphones in, and this became the room where we were going to do the acid fest. You know, like whatever this is.
Well, judging by the March display on the calendar, I don't think you really paid too much attention.
That's a stoner's calendar. Nate, it doesn't matter to us, actually.
If you lift that up right now, Coop, it doesn't go past June. So that's really the end of us doing podcasts. It doesn't go past June.
Why doesn't it go past June?
I don't know who ripped it out, Nate. I don't know who ripped it. Look, you see, that's it. Look. Oh, wow.
Fell down.
Fucking fell down. That's the end of the calendar, though. It doesn't exist past that month, you know? So I think that's the end of times. Nate, you're 27 at this time, right? And you decided.
I wanna go. Let's go even farther back, y'all.
Okay. Let's go all the way back. How back do you want
to
go?
To stealing cable, yeah.
Where did you grow up? Where were you born?
I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Steelers represent.
Wow.
Steelers, yeah. Stealing cable. It runs through. It's good. We're hacking shit, son. Shout out hack ass jokes.
That was a bad joke. Yeah. That's right. Gong for
fuck
that.
Off, son.
So, but yeah. Just
so it's like
up.
19. What is it? 72. How old are you again? Aren't
I was
you
born
45?
In 83.
83. All right.
I'm an 80s baby.
The 80s baby.
70s on.
Yeah. We're both 89.
All right.
That's we still, made it.
It's only 6 years. But just I always loved comedy before I knew that's what I loved. Mm-hmm. Like watching Saturday Night Live, was addicted to it.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I think they started with that stand-up and HBO shows. But then, like, there was a time when Comedy Central, remember when Comedy Central first came on, all they were showing was Saturday Night Live and Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
Like, especially right when I got home from school. So I watched, like, 2 hours of fucking sketch comedy. I got obsessed with it. Plus, that was when Chris Farley and all them were
that's when it
killing
was
it.
Really
Mike Myers
going,
were,
yeah.
were doing it currently. And they got the Will Ferrell in there, and she was just crazy. Yeah. So my dream for the longest time was to be a cast member on Saturday Night Live. I'd still do it, but now my dream is to host that shit.
Yeah.
But I just became, like, obsessed with comedy and gotten stand-up and then, you know, got on these podcasts and things.
So early on, you were obsessed with comedy.
Yes.
Did you know you were going to do it?
Not at all. I mean, I was trying to, like, be fun with my friends. If you
That's
knew me
completely
back in the
different,
day,
by the way. You know?
But that was the only time people would hear from me back in the day is, like, I was really shy. And my mom would be like, you only need to talk when you have something important to say or something funny to say. And I was like, oh.
Nate, the only reason that's the only time anyone heard from you is because your voice.
I know.
Is at such a low decibel that people can't hear you because you are the bass in my car.
Yeah.
Like, you are like the rumbling that shakes the windows in here. Anyway.
Slapping the bass.
Yeah, slapping a bass, man. Shout out. Hack joke number two. We're going to keep it going. Hack
Speed
joke number two. Hit
the tally.
So you only made some fun.
Game. Every time there's a hack joke, it's fucking drink.
Well, just every time I start talking, go ahead and tip those up.
One and the same, my friend.
Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Old E English.
That's right, yeah.
Keeping it classy.
800, baby.
Spell amateur in the font. And not
800.
So you, only time you said anything was if it's funny or if it's interesting, which is how I believe people should talk now, by the way.
Yeah.
It's really how people should be.
Yeah, man, I was around a lot of people that talked a lot, and I was just like, why don't they shut the fuck up? I didn't understand. When I was growing up,
your
and
family.
I feel like I'm very similar to you, and I feel the same way about this guy. Like he just never shuts up. You know what I'm
saying? Well, that's a good compliment, though. Yeah.
We are exact opposites in every respect, which makes us okay to live together and to date and have casual sex.
That's adorable.
It's all right. You know?
How many times a day do you just like look each other in the eye for at least a minute? Like over 10.
How many times? 10, maybe.
I'd say a little under. Yeah,
a little
it's
under.
Up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
close.
Nice. He, his eyes compliment his soul and his spirit.
Breath.
Yeah, he's good. You know, you take a breath and enjoy it. I think everybody's so gay. We're so gay on the inside, by the way. Now, nothing's gayer than three guys hanging out in a basement looking each other in the eyes right now.
Talking about how everyone's so gay.
In a dimmed room.
Shout out Working It Out. Shout out Ernesto Ortiz and Gene Moore. By the way, if I can really fast, it was the coolest shit ever going on that show. And the only downside I'd say is that I had spent so long doing comedy trying to avoid you, and I show up to this show, and there you are. And I was like, fucking there he is, Nate. Evangelista, fuck.
Could only hide for so long, bitch.
It was the coolest thing ever. They start playing this music, and Nate is introducing this show, Literally, they step in and he's like, "Welcome to Working It Out. This is Nate, Straight Nate Evangeli." And he just goes, "I couldn't believe it."
Yeah.
Real radio show. We're doing
right
this.
Right into it. Yeah.
We're doing this in a fucking, like, the equivalent of a log cabin as far as technology. Like, we're using candlelit microphones, you know?
Yeah. I think log cabins have current calendars, though. I don't know.
And ones that
might
stay
be
on the wall.
Log cabins.
Not my cabins, nigga. We don't need no calendars around here.
This is so, like the Lincoln shit.
This is the Lincoln shit. So early on, you knew that you pipe up if it's funny, if it's interesting. You knew
yes.
you wanted to be on Saturday Night Live or host it, rather, which is awfully cocky of you, thinking like, I don't want to be a cast member, but I know I'm going to be
good.
Hey,
it's a good goal. Yeah. It's a good.
You got those 7-year contracts now. And like, yeah. That's a big commitment.
I don't think Saturday Night Live's that funny now. I watch it now and I feel like it's funny, but it's lacking like.
They just lost a lot of good people. Kristen Wiig, Bill
Hader. Jason
Sudeikis. Sudeikis is about to leave.
Yeah.
Myers is going to follow up. Is it Leno? I think. Or one of those late night shows.
He's going to have his own?
Yeah.
Really? Mike Myers?
No. Yeah. What's going to happen is
Seth
Myers. Jimmy Fallon
wow.
is taking them tonight show.
Yeah.
Conan is staying where he is.
Yeah.
And fucking. Who did I just say? Seth Meyers
Seth
is going to
yeah.
come in for where Jimmy Fallon is right now.
Seth Meyers is good on Weekend Update. That's yeah. like probably the best. Start. I just don't think like Kenan Thompson and all those guys.
No.
I think it comes down to the writing. I don't think the writing.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
And you got to write for yourself too.
Yeah. Which is the best part about stand-up comedy.
The format though. Of a show where like the Adam Carolla show. What was it fucking called?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it's called the Adam Carolla Show. Ace Broadcasting.
That was a good.
Give it up for Allison.
The Man Show.
The Man Show.
That was
show.
Such a better format for like videos or skits because yeah. they would tell a little background behind it. And they'd be like, "We mm-hmm. were dying laughing because this happened," and mm-hmm. then they would show a video of it, and it wasn't just like them trying to be funny. I guess it like takes away from like the art part of it, but
You know, fuck the art part of it. Funny is funny, and however you get that across, it's how you get it across. You know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So you're 27 years old. You say July 4th. You
Why
sit
you
down.
Keep jumping to 27?
Because it's a very special number. I'm gonna tell you what. First
I'm
off,
I'm like at 16.
First off, it's the age I feel like I'm gonna die at. I don't know why,
oh,
but
sure.
I feel like I'm gonna die at 27.
To
yeah, it's the end of it, you know. And that's where all these rock stars like Jim Moore. I go like, I'd be lucky to die at 27. Mm. We can go back to 16 if you want, but I'm curious as to why on July 4th you just like made a goal for yourself that 3 months later you were gonna do a set.
I didn't say that even necessarily like 3 months from now I'm going to do a set. I just said, woke up and I'm like, I can't be living like this. And I wasn't even living that bad. Just, you know, partying and not doing anything productive in my life. Just whatever job, which I'm still at.
Yeah.
But I just was like, you know, I got to do something. I know I'm creative. I got something in me that's fucking creative. And I love fucking comedy. Let's give this a shot. And I knew about the classes. I thought about taking the classes.
At the Comedy Spot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is the day. It's on Sunday. And I was like, 4th of July, they're probably not even there. But I'm going to go just to say I went. And if they're not there, I'm going to come back and write some jokes. And mm-hmm. I'll just start no matter what. And I went there, and there was actually a class with Deanne. So that was my first start. And
did you go on stage?
I did.
What, did you have written material, or did you
I
win?
Did, but I wasn't ready to do it. Like, they just talked to me for a minute, like, where are you from? And how's it feeling stage?
And do you have any written material?
I did have some written material.
That's what she said, though. I know it sounded like I just repeated myself.
No,
cool. That's what she said, though.
I didn't do it the first day, though. We didn't get to it. I thought I was going to do it, and then she's like, all right, well, that was a good first time. I was like, well, should I just... Is this $25? You just asked me a few questions right now?
Yeah, no. I kind of want to like get this out.
The idea is that for whatever reason, stand-up or talking into a microphone is like the scariest fucking thing ever in the entire world for anybody. So I think on your first day, they try and go like, just say who you are and get comfortable standing there. Next week, come back and try and make us laugh. Even though it's, you know, kind of hard to do that in a room full of comics. They're just going.
It's weird. It's a very supportive group. But also, it's very hard to make comics laugh if it's just comics in the room, especially if they've heard those jokes before or 3, 4, 5 times before.
Mm. Well, you know what it's like when you're waiting around to go on stage or anything. You're going like, just shut the fuck up. I want to go up. And you think like, if I could be up there right now, I would have said this. Yeah. If I could do this, that's just, you know, just what it is.
Then you get up there and you blow it.
Yeah. So exactly.
I like how you guys both like just calmly agreed with that. Yeah. Like, that's how it feels when you go up there.
Totally.
Every time.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't, people will when go like, starting. Yeah. People go like, that was a great set or this and that. I never really feel like that. It's I'll appreciate it, and maybe on the ride home I'll be a little bit more excited than if I would have done just okay. But I don't really think you're going to get any better as a comic or as a performer if you constantly go like, my back has been patted down by myself. And you're like constantly like just giving yourself like A-okay out there, A-plus every night, you know?
You know, I'm going to get like touchy-feely on you right now. I learned – Like, cause I was always my worst critic. I still am, but yeah. like I'd always, even if I have a really good show, I'd be like, fuck, I forgot this that I wanted to do, and I forgot that. I was always down on myself. But you also have to be encouraging. You don't want to bullshit yourself,
right? Right.
But you also be like, you know, that was good. You're putting your time in. You know, what can we learn from that? Instead of just like, fuck that, you're an idiot. Because like you can beat yourself down real easily. You
sure.
don't even think about
yeah,
it.
Especially with
number,
comedy.
The voice in your head, you can't always trust
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the number one question. What can I learn from this?
Yeah.
Like that,
in
that,
anything
yeah.
in life. Mm-hmm. In anything. It's,
like, yeah. what can I learn from drinking this 40 right now?
that 40 ounces of alcohol into your system feels a lot better than not 40.
Yes.
Is that terrible logic? Is that not?
It sounds good.
I think that's
that
three
hack
jokes. Hack?
I think you can
out.
Drink if you're at home.
I think I'm out. Jesus Christ. I just struck out in the baseball game of shitty jokes. Jesus. Oh, wow, that's a home run.
Say foul tip. Foul tip.
Nate, I keep going back to 27. You're jumping to 16. Why 16? Because you got your driver's license?
Actually, it should be 13.
13.
From that point up until 13, I was a shy kid who hardly ever talked. And, like, my friends knew I was hilarious, but nobody else who didn't
and
really
And you're
know
still
me.
In Pittsburgh when you're 13.
Yeah, I'm 18. Up until 18.
Up
I grew
until
up
18,
in Pittsburgh. Yeah, and then I came out here for school. But so at 13, there's an 8th grade variety show. And me and three buddies, we did Vanilla Ice. This is way after Vanilla Ice
oh
was cool.
God.
Like, it was
yeah.
a total joke
all I can think
satire.
Of in yeah. Step Brothers, that's yeah. the funniest clip ever, real fast. Not to, like, totally bust your ass on your own performance, but
no,
please go ahead.
It was a masterpiece performance, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
I was part of the VIP posse. My one friend, Jared Collette, he was Vanilla Ice. And we all got our jerseys made, like, customized football jerseys.
Oh, my God.
Mine was Steelers, but it said VIP. Ours, and then his said Bobby Brister for some reason. We yeah. thought he was supposed to get ice, but he was... Bobby Brister's like this joke of a quarterback, by the yeah. way. It was just stupid. But if you remember, this was the time of Don't Be a Menace in
Don't
South
be a
Central,
menace in South
that
Central.
Whole big long thing.
Yeah.
So one of my heroes is Martin yeah. Wayans for playing Loke Dog. So I had long hair because I was in a fucking grunge, like with the flannels and everything. So I turned that shit out. We had like girls crimping my hair and doing all sorts of shit. So I just went out as like this character. And nobody fucking was ready for it in my school. It was like 6th,
yeah.
7th, 8th grade. And we did three shows. And I was just like riding the bull. It was also a... Billy or Happy Gilmore around that time.
Happy Gilmore.
So I was riding the fucking microphone stand, just going crazy and shit. And everybody's like, "Who's this kid? Like, he's so quiet." And that was where I kind of got the performance bug.
That was the first time you pushed
let
it
out there.
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was so that's why it's significant.
Yeah.
And then from then on, you know, just partied and jumped to 27.
Well, what are the other members of your posse doing? Well, are they performing still, or was that just like a total like?
No,
it be
we
fun?
Talk about reunions every now. And
yeah, right.
The one guy's actually fucking in Thailand or something, like as a school bus driver. I don't understand what he's doing.
Wow, that's insane.
He just found
that
me on
insane.
Facebook recently. Yeah. And the other one's fucking married. He was such like an asshole. Now he's married. Are we really talking about the VIP posse?
Yeah, we
posse?
Are.
We're talking
about
the VIP posse.
Holla.
Amateur son.
You gotta hit those
so Scott Schaefer's married. I know he might have a kid. Jared is somewhere in Thailand or yeah. Asia's. One of the Asia's.
Shout out.
Scar Schaefer?
Scott Schaefer.
Oh, I thought you Scar Schaefer. I was like, what the hell?
I don't talk clearly.
The guy who primped Scar from The Lion King before
I
his scenes.
I thought it was a VIP posse. I thought we
no,
were fucking
no, thank you,
because
I was probably getting in a murmur zone. That's not good. And right. there was one more, Pat Cooper.
Yes,
he's still
Pat
my
Cooper.
Boy, living yeah. it up in Pittsburgh.
Shout out Pat Cooper living yeah. out in Pittsburgh. Yes, yeah. yeah, son.
You see this Christmas, son?
Yes, yeah, son.
Cooper to Cooper, son.
Yeah, what's Cooper
up,
to Cooper, son.
Yeah, I got yeah. a coop to a coop.
To a coop.
Was he white?
Yeah, nice. Definitely.
All Coopers are white.
He went to like
no.
he's not Jewish, but he went to
except
a Jewish frat in Penn State. That's how white he is.
Is he funny?
Wow,
oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's fucking Jewish. It's like
he's just like Jewish without being Jewish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They just have a very funny. You remember? Shout out Chase Ferguson. I think he might be listening. He sent me a message a long time ago that said he listens to these. Shout out Chase Ferguson. Naturally yep. funny. He's a Jewish friend of ours. Just the way he puts the situations in his life. Out there, like he's just fucking funny. Like he'll just make it seem like it's like, oh, pity me, and this is stupid.
Right.
Yeah. That was terrible. I really, really no. am striking out.
I used fucking, to love that.
You're
yeah.
golden. You have yeah. some money. You don't even
yeah.
know.
Got money. Got confidence. You know how we do. 16 years old. You jumped to that. What is it?
No, I was mistaken 13, that for 13.
Yeah. Oh, you were.
He told the story.
Oh, you Chinese, you jumping over the numbers.
I know. Filipinos aren't good at math. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The reason is, actually, we don't fuck with the rice patties. Because if you fuck with the rice patties, you have to be good at math. And that's China, and that's parts of Korea.
What?
That's where the stereotype comes from. Did I just blow your fucking mind?
Rice patties. Are you talking about rice patties as a people?
Rice patties.
No, I don't think that's patties. A racial no. slur, but that's not what I was saying to call somebody.
Because I was like,
fucking rice patties.
Why do they need math to like fucking count rice?
It's not counting the rice itself. It's like actually growing it because it's very precise. You have to make all these measurement adjustments. I don't understand it myself other than what I just told you, but that's where the stereotype is.
And what you grow at your own house.
Yeah. And you also have to be a hard worker at that.
Can't believe you just called those people rice patties, man. It's messed up.
Yeah. Shout out to the rice patties.
Shout out to the rice patties. Nate,
and the
actually,
Krabby Patties.
You know those...
Krabby Patties.
Shout out to all of them.
You know those... Coop, you ever heard of a rickshaw?
Oh, shit.
I know what the fuck a rickshaw is, but I can't think of what a rickshaw is right now.
It's what
rickshaw!
Like, wow, unbelievable. Rickshaw. And it's a Chinese reference. It's where people wear those hats that look like a top. Like it comes
like
down.
One of those drummer, like the symbol.
Yeah,
like, that,
yeah
that's
exactly.
A hat, though.
Oh, okay.
And they
yeah.
run a chair with wheels and sticks, and they take you. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nate has one of those.
That's no the, way.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. But that's the end of the
joke. Yeah, I was like, should we play along?
Yeah.
No, I guess I don't have one. But,
I thought
I'm
you
used to yes
like,
and improv, so.
Pray along, Nate. Pray along.
Got to pray just to make it today. Yeah.
So, all right, so you do this then. So we got 13-year-old Vanilla Ice, you and the VIP crew, we shouted them out. So you, yeah. at 27
That's
years
awesome.
Old, decided that you're going to do stand-up comedy. And it's yes. weird to me that anybody does stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I do it. He's done it. And we look at it. I look at it. It's a very weird thing. That's why we have comedians on here. You're fucked in your head, Nate. And not in a bad way, but.
I mean, especially comics, because you got to kind of confront that shit. And any kind of artist, your job is to express yourself. So
right.
And it's really scary to think what people mm-hmm. are going to think about what you,
think
you expressed yourself.
More right. important than fitting in with society and, you know, mainstream society, you think it's more important to express yourself, however weird that might come across to mainstream society, that's what makes you interesting. So
dude,
it's like...
Fuck society, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
man.
For real. I
no,
agree.
No, I know. Just fucking
fuck
right.
society.
Pass that bowl.
It exists. It exists, you know? Like, it exists, even though it is fuck society, it definitely still exists. So I want to know what made you... At 27, decide you're going to do
think
this.
The big turning point, and I think up until then, comedy was just one of my big passions, like music. I always loved music and comedy and just collecting that kind of shit. But I was working with my boy, Jarrell Ellerby.
Shout out, Jarrell Ellerby.
He was doing just starting out, and he did an open mic earlier that year, I guess it was 2010.
This is in Arizona or Pittsburgh?
This is, yeah. I came back to
when you were
Arizona 18. In 2001.
Wow.
So I've been here since then, about 12 years now. And so I saw my boy do open mic at the Comedy Spot, and he did awesome. So he's intimidating, but then the other people I saw, like, I could fucking do that, at least
yeah,
be as good
yeah,
as that.
Exactly.
And that's all you need to see. Like, it made it so real.
No, it makes
like,
it possible.
Touchable.
Yeah.
So then I just like, I can do this shit. And then it still took me another 4 months or so
to get up the
to
fucking,
be like
yeah.
July 4th and be like, all right, we really got to do this.
Yeah.
Do something.
Did you drink or participate in any substance abuse before you went up? Did you?
Oh, never. I still don't really before shows.
You didn't
I was just
enjoy-
too scared to not be clear.
Clear in your head.
I mean, you know, after that I go up, that's a different story.
Afterwards,
a drink or two, or I mean, yeah. I may have one or two drinks if it's like not a gig that I'm like paid for. You know, just,
sure, you just
open mic or bar
yeah.
or something. You know, I'll have one or two, depending on if I'm like number 12 or 13, I might have a mm-hmm. third. But it's more to. Like, past the time, I have 3 drinks in 3 hours. It's not going to,
yeah,
anyways,
it's
not,
gonna fuck
not
you
defending my alcoholism. I drink a lot at other times. I'm not saying
gonna
I don't.
Ask, we're 24 now. You said rock bottom was 27, and I feel like I'm on my way there.
Yeah.
Because
I feel
I'm
like
drinking
I have
a lot
bought
every
two
night.
Tickets. I'm bringing you as my date, by the way, to the rock bottom concert.
Let's
and
go.
We're front center. I'm right there with you. Please go on.
I hope it hits you guys soon. Yeah. I hope it hits you hard.
But yeah,
no, just
we have our own fucking rock bottom, and rock bottom is what made us start this podcast and makes us do whatever we do, these paintings and all our art, whatever. But what were you doing at?
I wasn't even doing anything that bad. It's just
you're probably just hanging out and partying like us, because
yeah,
we just like drink casually when we
right.
get off work and we hang out and we talk, and well, the next day you go to work and you just continue living life, and it like just keeps going
yeah.
on at some point.
I think
just
at a certain point, it becomes redundant and becomes so monotonous that
right.
you go, there has to be more in
mm-hmm.
life. There has to be something more that I can do, at least. And you realize at the same time, you're realizing there's something more that you could do, Nate
yeah,
Evangelista.
Sure.
You're realizing that everyone else, at least as far as you see them, doesn't want to do that. or they're not doing that. So you go, all right, well, I can break apart here and I can do something creative, like go do stand up or, you know, music. Did you say you collect music or did you say you played music?
Oh, dude, no, I don't play music. That's because I kind of compared it to comedy that way because I never thought of myself doing that.
Yeah.
Music. And that's something I want to get to at some point because I do try out music. But up until then, you know, it's just. Oh, yeah, I jumped ahead. So before did the comedy thing, because comedy, I've always been serious about it since I started. Like, this is, even now, I feel like it's just love. It's my passion. It's my passion that I
performing.
Obviously, like I said, I've loved it all my life, and now I'm trying to do it.
That's cool.
But jumping back to 07, if we could for a moment. This, goddamn
I'm sorry, Nate. We can't do that on this podcast.
I don't want to be
we
rambling.
We don't talk about the year 2007. It's not something we allow, but.
See, even as much as I hate when Gene interrupts me, sometimes it's necessary if I start to ramble or trail off. So just don't be ashamed to be like,
Gene,
where are we going with this? No, and I'm saying do it more if I start to get like
Nate,
that.
Yeah,
this just is a preface because I'm going to go into a story here.
At least you can admit that. Miguel is the, you know, he can never admit that.
Shout out Miguel Diarte.
We love Mr.
Lord,
Diarte.
He was born a rambling man.
Nobody says all of his fucking 27 names.
Miguel.
Yo.
I love all those guys.
I watched him last time I saw that motherfucker with 27 names. Absolutely destroy that fucking crowd. And it was nice to actually
He's
see him
that
make a
great
laugh.
Energy.
Yeah. He does. He has energy, and he just brings it all the way up. You know what? Fuck you, Nate. Let's talk about Miguel for a while, Coop. Let's really get into it. Me
Miguel
and
reminds
you.
Me.
So proud of him. He's lost so much weight. Such inspiration.
Reminds me of a cool pothead that's never done psychedelics.
Yeah. No, he's a cool dude.
Well, then how cool are you?
Not that cool. That's what I'm trying to say.
So, Miguel, if you're out there,
listen,
stay strong.
They're me talking shit.
Nate,
yeah, what up?
We'll get back to what you were talking about. How'd you get hooked up with the guys at Working It Out?
Oh, that's a good way to start a sentence. this is a smart guy talking.
Yeah.
Me and Gene started almost around the same time. I think he started just not even a month before me, but that was kind of earlier 2010 because I was doing classes. He was doing classes, and Mike Hurley was starting
Mike
out.
Mike Hurley, shout out.
It's interesting, like that we're still doing it now. Eleanor Stone was there, but she had been doing it for
Stone,
longer.
Shout out, yeah.
But we just became friends early because, you know, we actually were taking it seriously, and they were all already so funny, and we just kept taking the classes. I took the classes for on and off for like a year, my first year, and so we just became friends. And we started doing shows together, and he started hosting and. You know,
you started hosting.
No, I never hosted there.
Oh, you never hosted.
But Gene, you know, obviously he's the man there.
Yeah.
Did you do the shows for a year? Yeah, like
the student showcases.
I did the showcases and like open mics, but I wasn't doing much else.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize that first year. I thought I was doing enough, but you know, obviously you got to go up as much as you can.
Yeah, as much as you can. You never get any better than like your most recent performance. It's a constant. Like you go up and you just keep going up. It's really what I've learned as far as
it's a process.
In a year I've been doing
I'm just, you know, I wouldn't say you're as good as your last performance.
Well, then fuck you, Nate.
Because I think it's a process over time. It's a cumulative thing. Like, I've obviously killed three times before, and then the last time was like,
yeah.
But I don't know. You still gotta get on it, man.
You gotta take your
every
hits.
Time.
Every time, you gotta get up there and take your hits.
Well, the idea is you take your hits and you have a good attitude about it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the hard part.
This is
comedy's like a fight. Like you gotta like take your hits.
Yeah,
and you just gotta. Fucking fight.
What's hard about it is that every comic that I know, including myself and probably you guys do, we're sensitive to a degree. So there is a tendency for a lot of people to get really emotional about it. And you'd be like, I'm just not going to do it. It's like, you got to understand that what we're doing is insane and the odds of us making it is insane. But we do it because we enjoy the expression of ourselves. It's part of something that it's important to us. I mean, you take your hits and you move on, you know? Your first show, did you eat shit?
No, I killed even though I was nervous as fuck. I was sweating.
You killed
balls when I got off. Yeah, and everybody, it was my first time. Like, I think Aaron, I forget his last name. I think he was hosting, but he's just like, the next guy up, it's his first time. He's really nervous. I was like, God damn
and you
it.
Didn't drink or anything?
No.
Have a
before.
Rice patty? Anything to calm your nerves?
I had a few rice cakes.
Takes too much math.
Shout out your rice cake.
Takes too much math to do a rice
cake. One rice cookie, patty. But I could not read. I was too nervous. But yeah, I was just getting like sweaty even before I got up there.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know how to pace myself, so my breathing was off. But I got through it, and my jokes are actually pretty decent.
Do you remember any jokes from your set?
Yeah.
Do you want to give one of them? Do you have one of them? I got one chamber.
It was true off of, like, I just recently had gone to a psychic as like a goof with my mom at this fucking mall in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So waiting for my sister to get the fuck out of Bed Bath & Beyond. Spend like 45 minutes in there. Anyway, so I get sidetracked. But this basically is psychic. Section. Told me, like, you're going to meet your wife this before the end of this year. And in 2 years from now, you're going to have kids. And then just told me a few other things, and that freaked me out.
Yeah.
So I had jokes about that, like, oh God, I'm so nervous every time I meet a girl. Like, are you my wife? Please don't be my wife. I don't want to marry you. So the jokes weren't too bad. They're not too good either. Like, I don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some people's first times is just, it could go anywhere. But
do you think you did well because you had empathy from the crowd? They felt bad for you? Or do you think you were genuinely funny?
Little from column A, little from column B. I think I was funny, but they were definitely rooting for me. And it's always a friendly crowd there anyways.
Enough to make you go back. Yeah. Enough to make you go back.
So I don't, you know, I think it was a little bit of both. But I definitely did pretty decent when I see it. Some people go over the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I did pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, that's good because that's what you need as far to be a comic or any kind of entertainer. You need to have a level head. So you say you did decent. You weren't like. You say you kill, but you mean that in a very, like,
I had a couple really big laughs in it, though. Yeah. So I get that experience of, like, fuck yeah. So it was on.
Fuck yeah. That's a good feeling is when I was talking to that tonight with Brian Kawatsu about how when you go up on the stage, the very best feeling in the entire world is you say 2-3 jokes, and the crowd is already on your side. Or you're doing anything. They're already on your side. Then at that point, you can relax and they're rooting for you. It's hard to win people over, you know?
It is, and I've learned that because sometimes I'll just keep going with it when I should really address the crowd more, work on getting them on my side. But I kind of got spoiled because just doing the comedy spot for my first year, there's like we're talking about, there's such good crowds.
They're a great crowd, yeah.
You don't really have to necessarily win them over most of the time.
Yeah, they're willing to be there. So how soon after your first set did you go up again, and what made you do it? You were just like, you know what, I'm good at this, I'm going to stick at this, and you've been at it for 3 years. That's insane. Yeah. You know?
When I say hit rock bottom, it wasn't like a sudden thing. Is very, very gradual of years, but for whatever reason, I guess I did wake up one morning and say, I'm going to stop this. But I knew for some reason I put it together in my head, like, I'm fully committed, like, to comedy, even though I didn't know what that would entail.
Yeah.
It's like, I know this is my fucking passion,
mm-hmm.
and I just got to go with it. So, what was your question?
How soon was it after you did your first set did you go all up, right. And what made you go back?
So, yeah, I knew I was.
You did all right.
Going back and as long as I could afford to take the classes, because I was just getting serious about it. Like, I'd never really been serious about anything for too long in my life. So I was like, this is something I'm going fucking balls out on. I know I love it, and I just got to see this out so I don't look back 20 years from now asking, like, what if I gave this a shot, you know? Fuck regrets. So that's
Were you smoking weed back then?
I was. In my 20s were...
When did you start?
Cloudy.
Cloudy? Like, when did you start smoking weed?
Oh, gosh. I was sophomore in high school. I got spoiled. Like, I never had swag until I came out here to Arizona.
Really? Like,
actually, yeah.
My best friend, one of my best friends, his sister dated, like, the dealer in our town. So we got, like, shit from the Russian mafia. He got from Harrisburg because it's, like, that's where Penn State is. So it's, like, the big hub. On the East Coast. It's like,
I don't know how much you want to talk about this on the air, dude. They might be looking for you.
It's long
shout
gone.
Out to Harrisburg. Yeah, fuck all that.
Yeah, there's drugs in fucking college at Penn State. That's a scandal. I think
they already know that.
Yeah, I don't want to get too, probably shouldn't get too specific either way.
Yeah, fuck it.
But it's
coming from a guy,
started.
You know, paranoid.
Yeah.
Paranoid.
This guy
dude,
is
the government. Feds, yeah. I know. I listen to listening.
Did you, we did a podcast where he said something very funny and we cut it out of the last one. Shout out to Rachel Hinton, but it was, it's very funny. He's like, I just like to go outside and smoke cigarettes and just, the fucking government, man. I know they're after me. And it's just like the funniest audio catch. And it was totally out of context, but, basically sums up his personality. Mike Cooper over here. Mike, yes, change sir. Your bed sheets, Cooper.
Literally one of the, questions that psychic asked me, she's like trying to read my aura. I guess it has different
What's
colors.
What's your aura? What color did she say?
She couldn't tell me because she sounded like fucking like old ass Natasha from Bullwinkle. She's like, hey, I cannot see your aura.
Sounds sexy.
It is too cloudy. How much marijuana do you smoke? It's like, just looking at my aura, can't see through the goddamn smoke. That's how much weed I was smoking
really
in my 20s.
That?
Yes. I'm not making this bitch. Up, dude.
That's the best.
Luckily, like, I think she even, I don't know. I think back, like, was she really a psychic? Did she give me this material? Because obviously, like, I'm single as fuck right now.
Yeah.
I never met my wife in that year. I did have a girlfriend then, and that freaked me out. But it didn't. Yeah, we're not. I'm single. So I think, I wonder if she was just giving me material. Was that like Oracle giving you what you need, but you don't understand
Oracle
it yet?
Nah,
I think,
like,
I think it's
shit
a bunch
right
of
there?
Bullshit, son. And yeah. I think that's what you were about to say, too. Sorry,
yeah,
let's talk about that. Do you guys believe in any kind of coincidence or fate?
I do. And I do believe that people can be very intuitive about other people. But
I
it
do
doesn't
too.
Mean that they know exactly what's going to happen.
Definitely
they can
not.
Take a strong
right.
guess at
yeah.
your characteristics and what they've seen from other people. Characters that are just like you in life and go like, well, something like this is gonna happen. And then something at that age, you could have been like, I don't know, maybe a little more strict to yourself. And like, I feel like people who are strict to themselves get married or get chubby
yeah.
or like,
speaking of getting married, like when I was around 27 also, I had 10 friends get married within 3 years.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
fucking losers.
And most of them were in Pittsburgh, so I had to keep fucking flying back
not
and forth.
Shout out to them,
but that does make you like, you know, going to all these weddings
yeah.
like.
And the age thing, and you're all
yeah.
like, well, these are my buddies. Like, they have someone mm-hmm. significant in their life. And
I think
like,
they base the psychic thing, if I can jump back to what he
yeah,
said,
yeah.
they base it on this, right? They base everything that they tell you as a practice on examples that they've seen that have already existed. So you, your personality type, and the way you're talking to me, I'm going to diagnose you as this person who's going to get married. You're going to have these kids based on what I've seen. My problem with it is that you base anything on anything that currently exists, you're never going to change the current patterns of anything. So it's a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't think that people can't like not be psychic. Wow, a triple negative. I don't think that they can't not be psychic, but I also don't believe you should pay money for it. I think you already know your answers. When you
yeah,
went in
yeah.
there, you knew you weren't going to get fucking married at the end of the year because you said, like you said, you were obviously single as fuck. You knew you weren't going to get married at the end of the year, but some part of you wanted to hear something about you that you didn't already know.
Yeah. I was literally like, we were waiting outside Bed Bath & Beyond for like a fat fucking hour. My sister, her phone, we knew her phone was dead because going straight to voicemail. And we see these two psychics. We're like, well, what the fuck? As my mom talked to the older lady, my mom talked to her sister. Luckily, we were farther away, so she didn't hear all like the fucking marijuana shit. But,
I think of it as like a therapist.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a degree in therapy. They have a whole lifetime of
yes,
watching people
right.
and understanding how they're gonna think. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I think. They just make a great guess on what they think about
yeah,
you
they,
and
they,
the questions
yeah.
they ask you and your birthday and all this stuff. They just like, oh well.
I went and saw a psychic with my ex girlfriend, and
I think they can be pretty accurate though. Keep going.
Well, here's why she's
different
accurate.
People, I think there's fakes, there's frauds,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
there's also
there's
some
yeah.
people. Like the girl, this lady was in a fucking kiosk under an escalator at the
see,
mall. Like she
see.
Wasn't gonna be. My life changer.
I feel like I could do it to
yeah.
some people.
You could.
But
you could.
I don't
you
know
could.
How right I would be.
Isn't there a show you about mean? That?
But these people just don't have a fear about that.
There was
is there a show
you,
about that?
Some kind of guy that fakes that being a psychic just because he's so smart. I've only seen commercials for it. It's
that's
on some ghetto network like ION that you only get with the rabbit ears that I have. Go on, you were saying.
I was saying you went to a kiosk in the mall.
Yes.
Around here, Nate. Apache Junction.
Oh.
We have a thing, little thing called like Schlossman in Maine, which is
yes.
where like the Green Bay Packers lounge is, and like also everyone who does meth in Arizona. And I went to a psychic on like that, and I went in, and so she made really loose predictions, like very obvious.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
Right. Universe. She saw me and like this girl get out of the car, and we kind of got in like a fight a little bit, and she was like, "You guys aren't going to be together in the future. It's very difficult for you guys." And I remember thinking like, I fucking know that already, stupid cunt. I know that already. I know. And she was like, you and her have problems communicating. I was like, good job. You watched us through
yeah,
the
you
fucking
watched us
window.
Get out of the car and
yeah.
come
stupid
inside.
Idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like
everybody
it,
in a
yeah.
30-foot radius.
Yeah.
So
I believe that you can be psychic and be intuitive, and you can know shit about people. There's certain people and personalities that click, and people understand each other,
mm-hmm.
and you can make a good guess and a good judgment. It's up to you to believe, but I don't believe you can go to anybody and especially
no.
in Adonis Sauce or in some kiosk in the mall, and they can tell you
no, I wasn't
what
even
you're
expecting anything
yeah.
there, but
like for yeah. her to tell you you're going to be married is bullshit because that implies like you're going to follow, I don't know. It's
dude, pretty much everything she told me was wrong except that aura shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you told that hack-ass
why would you
joke?
Accept, why would you accept that just because she knew that you smoked pot?
Well, yeah.
She probably has an understanding.
I thought it was like
people,
dressed nice. I had like a collar shirt on and everything. I was like, I think I look like a pothead.
She probably understands that people that smoke pot are more susceptible to like understanding where she's coming from. Because other people just go like, wow, it's magic tricks to them. Mm-hmm. They just go, wow, really? You want to look at my hand. What is it?
Oh, she totally read my hand. Of course, I have a long lifeline. Like,
Just going to say there's like love line and heart line and all these different things.
They're all very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Every stoner that's like getting that done is looking at their hand and they're going like,
it's because you
show me where you got that information from. Like, show me where you got this information from.
You expand your mind enough, and I think it doesn't come from necessarily smoke, but anything in general, to the point where you go like, there's got to be something more. So now you start looking into like, fourth dimension shit, which would be like reading your palm and going to a psychic and like lucid dreaming. Like, you eventually start like thinking about these other parts of life that definitely play into our subconscious, but no one ever talks about it. No one ever discusses it. We go through our day like, hey, Albert, Ralph, nice to meet you. We shake hands and we'll finish this up. And it's just a bunch of bullshit. It's like, I thought I owed you $20. And it's like, nah, nah, nah. It's some bullshit.
That's why the 50s is great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, same.
I
tell you, old Tom's
bucks
up there at the mill. He comes down here. He tells me that I have a problem with the mill. No, I ain't no problem with the mill. I ought to go to the cops for the whole
the
big thing.
The mill has a problem.
The mill's got a problem with me. Big Tom up
Listen,
there.
They're talking to Tom over here. They're telling me he's got a problem with the mill.
Now, see, you going to tell me I got a problem with the mill. I ain't got no problem with the mill. I got a problem with the mill. The mill's on the hill. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Shout out to 1950s. All of that skit. If this was a video of a podcast, we would have put it all in black and white for like that 20 seconds. I really wish we could have, you know?
Mill is on the hill.
Yeah. I wish that the listeners could see how veiny you were when you were giving that speech.
Yeah, and how fucking Ric Flair style, dude.
How pointy his finger was. He was on point with it.
He was.
You gotta believe it yourself first. That's what I learned anything about the two right. student films I've acted in. Let me tell you guys a little thing about acting. All right, so you do your comedy set.
No, I want to talk about psychics. Let's go back to the psychics for a second, because my mom was approached. There's been a couple times where you can't fake that shit.
Yeah.
Like, my mom kind of ran into this psychic. She was meeting up with her friend, and they met this other friend who wasn't, they wouldn't make an appointment or anything. Just happened to be they called her a medium, or she called herself a medium.
A medium.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a communicator between both worlds, right? That's
right.
What I mean. Yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't know. I guess that's what it is. It makes sense because she saw all these dead people. Mm-hmm. She's like, you have a bunch of people around you all the time.
She said that to you?
No, to my mom. Yeah. There's just my mom met this lady. Mm-hmm. But she's like, there's this guy, this man who says you have his watch and he just keeps saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that was my grandpa. My mom had her father's watch, not on, but like, you know, that's
with
the one
memory
thing she kept besides pictures. And just other things, like my grandma had just passed, and she said she's over there, but she's really, like, with me, which is kind of crazy. And then just a one-eyed woman is saying hello, and we just had my Aunt Helen die, and she fucking didn't have a working eye. And she's like, that's crazy shit. And she's like, what does Arizona mean to you? My mom lives in where I'm from, back in Pittsburgh. This is where it was all taking place, in Pittsburgh. And the lady's like, what does Arizona mean to you? Like, you have family out there. And I was like, I have a son. It just kind of got deeper in there. But just certain like, things like that where you meet someone by chance. Like, I don't even think they know they're going to say these things to you until they
they don't
come into your presence.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
sorry, I don't know if that was funny. But.
No, I believe that people could get that intuitive towards other things, you know? Yeah.
Nate, this podcast is about jokes. If you don't have anything funny to say, please shut the fuck up.
Well,
we're trying
to
make jokes here.
That was a true story, but was it like interesting at all? Probably
fuck
not.
Yeah. It's fucking absolutely fascinating. And this is the thing that pisses me off is people go like, meh, that's weird, or meh, go burn some incense, you fucking hippie. And you're like, fuck you, you know? Yeah. Like, you choose to live your life in this shitty prism of existence that, mm-hmm. like, is like, well, I got told what to do. We're back to the 1950s, Shane.
I'm real.
You see the vein? It's like people live in this box where they go like this. This is what bothers me is people go like, there's no way. There's no way there was a JFK conspiracy. And I go, and what really pisses me off is that you're saying there's no way. You don't even go like, there might be. And that's where everybody lives, is this area where there's no aliens, there's no conspiracies, there's no lizard people, there's no, it's like, what the fuck is so fascinating about this life that we live that you're not willing to option those?
Money and things to buy,
right.
Dude.
Money and things to buy. So, fine, buy your fucking Pantene Pro-V and your Cheez-Its and the diapers that are good for your kid's ass. You know, like, go do that.
Nice. Fuck your kid's ass, yo.
Fuck your kid's ass, son. That's what I've been trying to say this whole fucking time.
What
fuck
is that
your kid's ass.
Guy's name?
Fuck those baby cheeks, yo.
I think I'm all cute.
You're going
smushy.
Pastor style on this movie.
Little baby poops. No, it's just like, it's fine. Here's the thing. If you're going to do all that, then that's fine. But leave me the fuck alone. What bothers me is when people, they come up to you and they say, hey, that's weird that you do this. Or, hey, that's strange you believe this. It's like, it's not my fault. You're so afraid of life, you're boring. You know, like you're so afraid of like shit that might be interesting that you're boring. You're not fun to talk to.
In general, a way to split people up seems to be two kinds of people. People that are for change or people against change. Yep. And sometimes the change is within the person.
Ooh. Very Middle Eastern of you, Nate. How about change come within.
That's right. And sometimes they want to change on certain things, but not on others. So
well, you know.
Well, everyone wants to do that. They want to pick and choose what they want to change on.
So what did you change from your first set to your second set?
Tried not to sweat. That was failure.
You were thinking about it in your head. It was probably making you sweat
I think
more.
Like. The second time you go up is worse. Did you have a worse experience? Because that first time is like a fluke. If you got any laughs, it's a miracle.
No, I wasn't as nervous. I did the same set, I think, the month later. And it had actually, like my first 3 months, I got spoiled where I was doing pretty decent and usually getting like two or three huge laughs. Like I just had a bunch, I guess, pent up inside of me. Like I was like prolific when I first started as far as just writing material, and I was excited about
more
it.
More and more.
Going to those classes, I just delve into it. And I just, even more to it in different ways, but it just doesn't like surge for me anymore because I just had like 20 years of writing shit.
Yeah, exactly. That was the first time you ever wrote it all out. Mm-hmm. So you exploded.
And I'm not saying it was all fucking gold either.
It
just
but it was the first time you
easy
had
to write.
Yeah. You had a whole, you had a full tank of gas.
Right.
You know, pardon the shitty reference or analogy or whatever it is, but you had a, you had everything. And now it's like, you have to work so hard just to get like a quarter of a tank.
Had a loaded gun.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
Like, I have hundreds of notes in my phone from when I first started too, and just things I thought were funny that when I read back, I go like, what the fuck? I can't even read this right. What was I saying? What was I trying to portray? I don't even know.
I had written in my phone, California, and then a couple spaces, drive back, Arizona border, and then the word faggot, and then pussy, A-Z, and then underneath that, asshole. And I was like, what the fuck did any of that? Like, none of it meant shit. But I was driving back from California, and I was like, all this is funny. You know? I was like, this is fucking hilarious. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm at like an eighth of a tank of gas, Nate. I'm running out. You know anybody who can write jokes? Nate, you got some jokes for me, please, you know?
It's a hard thing, especially if you're doing it a while, is to keep yourself inspired. But then recently I just realized it is your responsibility
to perform,
as a quote artist, to keep yourself inspired and keep the wheels going. And I think it's hard for a lot of people, once you even reach success, complacency is very
Nate,
like that's been my fucking that has been my fucking downfall is complacency. Like I never gave a shit. It's like, am I good today? I'm cool.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I started painting and once I fucking
like a week ago, judging by
ouch. Hey, shout out. Ouch. Ouch, son.
I started painting and I
hit the fucking gong.
Jeez, that was bad, dude. That was a bad one. Yeah, that was the army, a good one. Yeah.
That looks like you're trying to do like a Van Gogh / Scream / I don't know how to paint type of thing going on.
I enjoy Coop's paint. I have one hanging in my room in a place that you can't see it, obviously. But I enjoy Coop's paintings because they're the way he breaks them down is like it sounds so shitty, but when I say it's like my third grade mindset, like or your third grade mindset. It's very basic elements and colors, and it's a nice thing to look at, you know.
Yeah, like finger paintings. It could be on the fridge.
Hey, can we take a pause real fast and get Coop some mac and cheese and a glass of milk?
Please.
You want a grilled cheese sandwich, Mikey?
Please. I would die for a grilled cheese sandwich.
I would die for a grilled cheese sandwich. Nate, Evangelista, when was the last time you had a grilled cheese?
That's not for real?
We'll make some fucking grilled cheese. I swear to God.
This guy burns everything.
No, shut up, you know.
You burn a grilled cheese, that's just miserable.
Yeah. I think things are better well done. And now look at the double. Look at the double meaning there.
Just everything.
Yeah, everything's better when it's done well, including food.
Not,
you know,
not a fucking cow.
No, I think a steak. What? How do you like your steak, Nate?
Medium.
Medium. How do you like your steak, Coop?
Medium well.
Fuck you, stupid idiots, man. It's well done. You get it well done.
Nah.
You get just meat. You're chewing meat. It's nice, you know. You like blood?
I don't like blood.
There's not even any blood. Yeah,
but here's what I do. I sear that shit on the outside, so it's still fucking crispy and caramelized,
yeah.
But the inside is still kind of a little bit red.
Oh, damn.
That's son. What's up.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what's
a grilling master.
We need some steaks.
Motherfucker, no. We need some steaks.
Some
we
grilled cheese and some steaks up in this motherfucker.
Nate, some milk. Nate, you do improv, don't you?
I do dabble. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah. You fucking, what drew you to improv? Because did you start stand-up and then you joined the improv class?
Yeah, I just started improv this year. I took the classes as, starting in February through April. Then we had that show, and then I've done a couple improv shows since then. There's one coming up August 11th.
Shout out.
Check it out
at
the Comedy Spot.
Yeah. I think me and Coop might be in butt-fucking Wyoming.
Figuring
it out.
Why the fuck
are
you going to be there?
You said yeah. August the 7th?
August
11th. Yo, yeah.
Sunday,
you are so
Sunday,
Chinese
Sunday.
In your hearing and in your speech. You said August 7th?
I'm an old man. Everyone calls me an old man.
No one calls
me. I'm not used to being I'm not used to being in a room with two white dudes, and they're joking, making fun of somebody else with the Asian jokes. So it's refreshing. It's different.
It is nice. So August 11th, you do an improv. So you and Gene met in the Comedy Spot.
Yep.
You still didn't explain how you guys got hooked up on the show.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah. Definitely. So it's Ernesto's
Ernesto
show.
Ernesto Ortiz.
Ernesto Ortiz.
It's working it out. No G apostrophe because it's sassy.
Sassy.
Working it out with Ernesto and Gene. It's the name of the show. So it's Ernesto Ortiz and Gene Moore. And mm-hmm. then I'm Straight Nate. It's us three. We're there every week. Every Saturday at 4 Arizona time.
Yeah. And, Q-Talk America. Check it out. It is a blast,
yes,
by the way.
Live from Q-Talk cool headquarters. Show. And so Gene, I think it was late January. We did, maybe it was a show at Jackson's. And he's like talking about podcasts and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I love podcasts. I didn't realize he was talking about starting one until he's like, so you want to do it? I'm like, wait, back it up. And so he's like, yeah, I'm doing a podcast. It's going to be gay and comedy and comic Ernesto Ortiz, and we need a straight man. I think you'd be good. So I was like, fuck yeah.
Straight Nate.
And I didn't know how gay it would be. I was like, well, it's going to be gay, but fuck it. Like, you know,
yeah, it's
Gene's
something.
Funny, and I don't know this other guy, but I, you know, I trust Gene, and like, I love podcasts. I'm trying to get into it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, like, if I didn't do this working out thing, I probably would have started doing just what you guys are doing, just like chilling in a room.
Yeah.
Because I love all the ones that we talked about, like the Joe Rogans and. And
Joe
the
Rogan,
whatnots.
Aquila, Bill Burr, does the Monday Morning Podcast, WTF, Mark Maron, More Stories, all those
made
guys.
It weird.
Yeah.
I love
made
that
it
one.
Weird. Pete Holmes. Pete that Holmes was, is great. He's a very, when I first heard his, I didn't like his humor at first. But then he did this bit about, it's about Google, and it's called Nothing. Like, we know nothing. And it's like, where was Tom Petty born? And you used to, like, ask people. You would walk around.
He's an oddball comedy for sure.
I didn't like him at first, but he's great. And that's a nice thing about comedy is you can hear somebody at first, you might not like them.
Right.
Like, the way I felt about you. And then appreciate them after you hear them on Working It Out.
Sure.
You know? So that's cool. You
so
got
late January,
he
was talking about. I said, "Yeah, let's do it." We did a couple trial shows at the Cute Talk Network, which are real rough, but like
you were there from the beginning.
Yeah,
that's
well,
so cool.
Actually, yes and no.
Yeah,
since we've been on Cute Talk, yes. Since we've been like this kind of show with this title, but Ernesto and Gene started a podcast, just those two in one of their places for like 6 months, and it just—I guess they said it was too gay. That's not my words; those are his words.
I
but that's always Gene's issue. Yeah.
Gene,
is that everything's
Gene said
too
he
gay.
Started like doing a podcast, or he was thinking about starting doing one.
Right. Yeah.
And he wanted some advice, but he never said he did one before.
I don't know how much distribution, if any, it got. I don't know how far that, but they did a few of them, and
like
then
trial runs, like
that kind of fell through or something, and then they did try to regroup and bring me in and other friends like Kenny Beam, Ray Howard, Rachel, who was
Rachel
on your show.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out.
So we just fucking did a few, like three trial shows, and then kicked off, I think, mid-February, and just been doing it every Saturday. We're number two on Q-Talk Network.
Yeah,
or maybe
son.
Three.
Nice.
There you go, buddy.
It's pretty cool. After like, because there's like 15 shows on there.
Dude, when Rachel was on here, we got so many downloads.
We
got like almost 300 plays.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, we're
at, I feel pressure.
No, we're at, seriously, we're at like 352, which is like, I know that, and we're such fucking like, we're just such slumming it in AJ.
We hadn't done a podcast in like 35 days before
we
did
look
that
at
podcast.
We see three.
I saw there was
kind
of a break from like June to
we're
July.
We're just stoners, dude. We're just lazy. It's like we collab on it every once in a while. And we just go like, hey, Yep. You want to do a podcast tonight? You're like, yeah, sure.
It's the mood and a motivation, but that's, to me, is what makes the shit. If you try, now, also, though, I love it, but it's just not our style. But that doesn't mean we can't appreciate the way you guys do it. I love how you guys had segments. That was the funnest part ever, was that.
I want to do a show with segments, and I want to do a show that's, like, freeform. I want to be podcasting like you.
Here's
like
the thing about you can do whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't even matter. We could add segments on the next episode.
Or we can make a whole other podcast. Mm-hmm. If we
want to. Just fucking call it Working It Out and fucking take it.
I've said on this podcast before, to anyone that wants to do a podcast, they are available to come in here for free and use this space.
Oh, wow.
And these microphones and my computer. Yeah.
We had some people who were all right with it, but then they, like, no one ever followed through with it. They were
we wouldn't mind doing one about music or something. Mm-hmm. And then whatever.
I actually, before I did the Working It Out, like last year, I was getting into that. I wasn't releasing anything, but I was inviting friends over and just talking with them over some wine or some beer. And
wine and beer is good.
Depending on whoever it was, you know, trying to be.
Wait, what do you like wine-wise? Wine-wise, that's a great wine-wise, that's a great band, by the way.
My mom got me into wine. She likes the red wines. I like
red wine.
My favorite pound for pound, is a red wine. I like the Pinot Noir 99 vines. That's my shit.
Really?
But I like most all Pinot, either Grigio, but I really like the Pinot Noirs and the Merlots.
So you Pinot, that's where to me. I go like.
Speaking
Merlot,
of which, it's kind of a transition.
Yeah,
it's a young Pinot. It's kind of what I've been known by on the streets.
Young Pinot. When I said
in the beginning,
shout out
young
my
Pinot.
Dude, Young Pinot, son.
See, before I did stand up, I dabbled a little bit on the stage, like, and once I did that Vanilla Ice thing, I was
rapping.
Like, yeah.
Oh, now we're getting into it, Nate. Not even a whole
YouTube video.
There's MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, we got a MySpace up.
I think it's still
Young Pinot.
So this was like 07, y'all.
Young Pinot up Angelista, son.
Young Pinot, that's great, dude.
This is back when I was talking about 07.
Young Pinot bean.
Yeah.
Yes, son, Young Pinot.
I got a Mac in 07. And found a GarageBand.
Using now.
Exactly. And I was like, you can make a beat pretty easily. And
you
know, I was always doing funny projects. Like, I'd written funny fake poems. And it was in me. I meant to bring that up. Like, just the... some kind of in medium. I was always doing comedy, not thinking anything of it. But like, I wrote, even in third grade, I had a comic strip called Super Geek. It was like Superman, but a dork.
You drew it?
Yeah.
Did it out?
I distributed it to the class.
That's so like Japanese of you, Nate.
Totally is.
Make a comic
strip. But no, it was like, it wasn't a comic book thing. It was like a comic, like a funny thing.
Yeah, it was good.
So everybody thought it was lame, except like a couple of my friends. But hey, I did that. And then I wrote fucked up poems in high school and early high school, and then later high school, I hosted the Friday show, which was like, if you're in the media department, you make things for like the hockey games, you fucking film that.
That's
but
cool,
you, then in the spare time, you rent out the cameras. We would always do like chase scenes or action scenes and just like submit it for the Friday show. So I hosted that with my buddy Bone. Shout out to Higgins.
Shout out,
Bone. He's one of the only ones that isn't still married.
Shout out to Higgins.
Yeah.
Bones and Higgins.
Anyway.
Them Bones birds.
But keep going, sorry.
No. So I did like that. Because that was my dream, like, to be on Saturday Night Live. It was, like, my thing, like, doing skits. Because we were even doing it outside of the show or the school thing. Like, we were always making stupid mustache. Like, we did a lot of Beastie Boys Sabotage material. Like,
dude, sick. I just listened to that song the other day.
Suit and chase.
Sabotage.
Yeah.
I just listened to that song the other day. Right?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some lyrics, and I just went blank.
Yeah, you got us.
The crystal ball ain't so crystal clear, so.
Yeah. That was all I got.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
we're going to let you hang out there all alone, Nate. One of the worst things you can do on a microphone is when somebody does that and nobody gets right back on it and goes like, yeah, absolutely. They just go like.
If you notice, there should be another part of the drinking game for the show. If I do a 90s reference, you should drink because
I'm drunk.
It's always fucking going to be 90s with me. Any reference.
Because you're old ass 30 years old, Nate. Yeah, you're 30. You are 30.
It was awesome. The 90s made a comeback and now it's kind of fading away now. Like, shit. No,
Nate, I want to get into it right now.
What?
How did the date go? The breakfast date.
Oh.
Are you saving this material for Saturday?
It's not saving it. It's already been.
What's
the?
It's hashed
up. We talked about it on Saturday's show.
I was on Working It Out. Shout out Working It Out. Shout out Working It Out.
Okay.
And Nate had a bit. He's talking about he invited his girl to breakfast. I thought it was ridiculous.
That wasn't a bit. That was a true story.
Yeah, well, true story. Same thing. You know? That's where all bits come from.
Yes.
At least the ones that are good, you know.
Right.
So, you know, shut up, stupid. Colin Quinn's
yeah. on
Colin
podcast.
Quinn's in the house, you know, whatever, you know. So he went on a breakfast date with this girl, and how the fuck did it go? Did you actually go out and like get breakfast with her, or did you?
No.
No, see? All right.
Wait, did you get too nervous, or did she get too nervous? I'm sorry, I didn't wake up in time. Yeah. And you were like, oh, that's cool, because I wanted to sleep in anyway. I was too nervous to go out.
Lil Pino was asking what he should do about the situation. Young Pino.
Trying to find my...
Little Kino, what was it? Young Pinosis?
Young Pino, which we should get back to.
Young Pino.
Oh, I don't know where my phone was. I was going to read you the exact text. But basically, 2 hours before we're supposed to have breakfast Sunday morning.
2 hours before you're supposed to have breakfast? How fucking early are you waking up, young
Pino?
We
agreed
to
meet at 10:17 Sunday.
Because
I'm fucking
weird.
You're
insane.
So that's the time I said. So she.
How old is this chick?
I don't even know. She's early 20s, though. Like,
all right.
And you're old ass.
Probably 7, 8, 9 years older than
me. Where'd you meet her?
Younger than
you. This was just random at a bar, and then. We met again like outside of Waffle House. It's a romantic story. I just know.
So you saw her at the bar. You saw her at Waffle
House. It's all fucking stupid because she texts me, "Hey, man, I got a migraine. Sorry, I can't make it. Maybe we can reschedule." The end.
Ouch.
No date.
Wait, Nate.
The end.
Wait straight,
I'm glad
Nate.
You brought that up because that's the fucking story.
Ouch. Of course I'm going to bring it up first. But it's saying,
I try to move on.
You know, I know you're trying to move on.
Bring me back in.
She might as well have said like, "Hey, I got a knife here. You want me to?"
She called me man, which I didn't think was a good sign. She's like, "Hey, man. I have a migraine really bad.
I have a
bad.
Knife here. You want me to cut your throat?"
Straight Nate.
Don't call me
Wait.
Man if you're a chick. I'm trying to
Yeah,
date.
Don't feel... Yeah, it's like dude, and you're like, you know. So why do you think she was like, this guy's old and he's got a receding hairline? Or do you think...
hey, welcome to the club of this younger guy that has a way worse...
Coop is,
jokes about
Coop is,
that.
Coop is 6 years younger than you, but your hair is the same.
Oh, shit. Dude. I think you're even a little...
It's farther.
Well,
it's
you have a different
farther.
Style. Like, you have it all going back, which makes it a little more noticeable.
Yeah, it looks
I'm still
creepy.
Trying to hide it.
It looks creepy.
Both understand. You guys look great. I think you look very handsome. I don't think you should worry
fuck,
about...
Boy,
yeah.
This guy has a full head of hair. He's like fucking Rico Suave.
I know, he's like fucking...
I'm trying to get karma redemption.
He's fucking losing his nose on a roller coaster ride, Fabio over here. Yeah. He's getting hit by a bird.
Something
with
will
this
his
fucking
nose
stick.
On a roller coaster ride.
Another one of those.
I don't know if that was a 1950s reference or some insane shit.
I don't think there was any kind of 1950s nose roller coaster incident.
It just sounds like something somebody would have said, like, you know, Tommy with his nose on a roller coaster ride. Like,
motherfucking Fabio was on a roller coaster and got hit
Fabio.
In the nose by a bird. So I'm trying to call you Fabio because you lost your nose on a roller coaster ride. You fucking long-haired Fabio.
I did not know it was Fabio, but now it makes so much sense.
It's a Fabio reference. Sorry, I'm the only one that knew that.
Hey, no, I mean, I'm sure there's someone somewhere. You know,
if
maybe
Gene's listening, he knows. Shout
Aaron
out
Anko laughed a little bit. I mean, she might have just chuckled a little bit.
She definitely smirked at the very least.
She smirked. Aaron's great. She's a very she's a very cool chick. Shout out all
Rachel
the
Rachel might have gotten it also.
Rachel got it
she
as well.
She might have laughed.
I don't know. Maybe she's applying for some, you know, government jobs, you know.
She's, going
crazy,
places.
Yes.
That girl.
Getting drunk and applying for the CIA. How crazy is that? I can't even imagine, like, applying
for
any
real?
Job. Yeah, like, let alone.
When she
was
on the podcast. Mm-hmm. She was telling us. She's like, I drank some wine one night, and I signed up for the CIA. And feel like, that's where I said that line. I was like, I drink wine and I worry about the government coming to get me. Like
the exact opposite. You don't seek it out.
I
you
don't go
on
the line. And...
So she called you man and you knew it was over.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my time with it. That's the last I heard from her and that's fine. Like, it's not like we were going to fucking make it or anything.
Yeah.
Like, make it in life.
What? What was her name again? Alex?
Sure, let's bust it open. Her name's Alex.
Yeah, Alex. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, whatever.
She's not listening. No one's listening.
But you know what, Alex? It's over. It's over.
Yeah, you know what? It's on your terms, son. It's on your terms, Nate.
Because that's all you said. You said you want to reschedule. Guess what? We're done.
Yeah. I tell you what, you think I had all morning to have breakfast with her. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Cooper.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
You're the one that's on a pad cap.
A pad cow? What's a pad cow?
That's some for real shit.
Oh, who's winning?
40 Ching Chongs. Cheers. I don't even have room. I'm getting my ass kicked, son.
Cheers to Old English. Let's end this bitch, dude.
You wrap it up?
Yeah.
Nate, Evangelista.
Dude, I'm ready to go 2 more hours. What's up?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go 2 more hours, but...
We'll do 10 more minutes, but Nate...
If I can go to the back of Young Pino real quick.
Yeah.
Because there's a...
Young Pino, yeah.
Young Pino, you got your heart broke.
No, fuck the heart broke. That's basically the end of the story. She texted me that. We can move on. Because I'm not going to hear from her again. So, did the garage band.
I wish we could pull her out of the fucking back room. I really do. Like, yeah, I wish just, so hey, bad we had the power to be like, Nate, tonight we got a surprise. We've been waiting an hour and we've been getting drunk just to show you that Alex is here. And she could walk out and she could sit down and really address the whole situation.
Look, yes. I really did have a migraine. I liked you a lot. I'm sorry I called you man. It's because my head was hurting so bad.
Yeah.
So young Pino.
Young Pino. Yes, young I was going to say, does your head hurt from all the hair that's been falling out? But I didn't say it.
And but, you did. But you did.
Hey, that's
but
fucked up, pal.
And it doesn't make it okay that you try to like make young it okay Pino. In the beginning. No. Hey, it's like saying, no offense, but you're really going bald. Like, I know I said it before,
yeah.
But you're going bald.
Hey, us baldies are going to fucking get you.
I know.
He can say that to me. That's fine.
It's okay because, like, at some point in life, you guys are just going to, like, be wealthier and be more well off, and I'm going to be sitting there with a full head of hair that's not transferable for shit. You know, so anyway, so young Pino.
Yeah, I'm on
please.
The track to millions. Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure. Hey, amateur hour.
Yeah, for real. No podcast in the fucking basement. Acid fest.
young Pino, you are a fucking rapper.
Yes. Well, it was basically making funny. I was never trying to be good at rapping, but I would, you know, fuck around with my friends after hours from the bars. We would freestyle and, you know, just be silly about it. And then I got the Raj Band, made some beats. And then I put it on MySpace just so my friends back home in Pittsburgh could hear it.
Yeah.
And through that, actually, I got asked to do some hip-hop shows.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Now, were you freestyling on that MySpace, or were you, had written
A lot of the raps come from my freestyles, but that's all like.
But you just wrote them down?
What? Yeah.
Were you like joking around, coming at your friends, like calling them pussies, or like?
No, it was all very sexual and graphic. Like, when I hit the mic, I just talk about fucking bitches and my dick, and that's just what comes out. And it's weird because I'm not a dirty comic, not on purpose. I mean, I'm swearing shit. I don't have like clearing material, but I don't get into graphic
Nate does
shit.
Clean jokes, but he gets off the stage, rushes to the bathroom, and jerks off in the
floor. Oh, did they laugh? Yeah.
Oh, I love it. They love that. Laughed at me. I didn't curse once.
Michael Douglas material kill.
Yeah. My balls are huge. I got a deep voice.
All right. That's enough. Tell me, Jack. All
right. We're going to work it out real fast. I'm going to bring it back. All right.
Basically, yeah, I had my songs were called, like, I'm Fucking Your Girl, Sex Pizza, Why You Such a Bitch.
Sex Pizza?
I'm Still Fucking Your Girl. Yeah. Sex Pizza is huge on the streets.
I cut you up in 8 slices.
Sometimes to fuck at 10, you've got to work your visa. Sometimes to fuck at 10, you've got to make a sex pizza. That's the hook. Look it up on MySpace, Young Pino.
Young Pino's son.
So it was a joke. Like, I couldn't believe these people were asking me to do shows. I'm like, fuck
yeah,
I'll do shows.
Fuck yeah, you might as well do it.
It's like a handful of them, and it's just like so
You really
funny.
Did a handful? You went out and did a handful of
shows? Yeah, I was doing it like Kill Big Fish in the sets, when they used to have the sets on Baseline. And what's
did you
place?
Do all right, though? You did all right, like, when you went up?
Yeah, like, people were laughing, and it was funny, because, like, everybody, most people would be, like, super serious with it and try to be super hard. Like, nobody was really hard.
Yeah.
And they're taking it so seriously, and then I come up there, and I'm like, I fucked a girl, and it was awesome. Like, I fucked a girl from top to bottom. Like, these are my real lyrics, son.
But it's
was
cool. It's
totally
from
just
you,
a joke, and my friends knew it was a joke, like, then they're loving it, like, yeah. And then I just kind of just doing that, dabbling in that, and then kind of tailed off. And then I decided to really do comedy. And then, you know, you don't want to bring people to shows I'm not serious about, because that was always just a joke to me. And so I had certain stage presence. That's my point here, is like, I wasn't just jumping on stage like as a shy kid. Like, I grew out of that and started being an extrovert, or just making people laugh and being social. And then got into on the stage with the Young Pino thing and just acting wild. Like, he was kind of like, I still might make him a character, like Ali G kind of thing. He's kind of a cross between like Dave
Chappelle. You definitely should.
Yeah. Because that's crazy.
Like, we cross between Old Dirty Bastard. Remember Dave Chappelle's impression of Samuel L. Jackson? Like,
I do not
cross
know,
between that.
You know,
like,
that.
You don't know?
Is
like,
the
a shock ate me! Blue.
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea. That was a good one. Yeah, that was a really bad impression.
That's all right. Dave Chappelle's the shit, by the way.
So, yeah. And then I just want to give you that background, as well as the comedy background. And then I hit the rock bottom, not doing shit, and I started doing comedy, and here we are. Full circle.
You are here full circle. I don't think, I've never seen you perform comedy, but I don't think you're a bad comedian.
You don't think I'm a bad comedian.
Do you like that, Nate?
I was going to say, I talked to Gene, and he said you killed, but I'm not going to say that.
Killed one
tonight. Yeah.
No, I did all right. Have you ever played the Shout House?
I have not. I've not seen a show there either.
It's a very strange room. So you played the comedy spot. You've done improv on the stage. You've done stand-up joke. That's where you started out.
Yes.
The Shout House is very strange because you walk in through a big glass set of doors, and there's a big glass panel. And you walk in, and there's you know, there's a whole front room of tables. And then behind those tables is a couple stairs up to a bar where people stand at the bar. And then they dim the lights, and they only shine you on the stage. But while that's happening, you from the stage can still see everything I just described. Like, described. That was hard to spit out. It really was.
Hard to say, too.
Almost,
it's getting late. It's getting late. Yeah. Like,
it was almost some Chinese talk.
Drunk.
Yeah. The room is different, but it is good. I realize, and I was talking to this about community saying, you might be the same place, and maybe you
You don't know me.
I don't know you. I don't know you at all, young Pino. I know nothing
young
about you.
Pino, yeah,
you're white, you're black. I don't know. Noir, Grigio, I have no idea.
You, I thought that was what you were first going to say, but Pino is like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's from Phil. It's just young Filipino.
Pino, yeah.
That's all.
But young Filipino... Oh my God! I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I had a moment because I was thinking he was saying that about wine.
No,
I thought you segued it.
Some
like
people
mad.
Do say that, and I did segue it, but
you segued it like mad,
yeah,
son.
He was like young Pino.
I was getting drunk off wine or beer.
Nate,
did
that
you
shit.
Sit in your mirror and practice your lines tonight, you motherfucker? You segued that.
He's got a little pen and paper. Yeah, here.
Not my first rodeo on the podcast.
It is not his first rodeo with the podcast. Nate Evangelista knows his fucking shit. It's unbelievable. Gene Moore said I killed. That's very nice of Gene Moore. I didn't see his set, but I actually did. He hosted. I'm retarded.
No, he's not. Oh, Frank, he just killed it tonight. And I think I was too gay.
Yeah,
that was a horrible Gene impression.
Gene,
I love you, Gene.
Yeah.
You know I love you.
Shout out Gene Moore.
I call him Genie
Does
Baby.
He call
What's
you
up,
after
Genie
every
Baby?
Show?
No, not hard, not definitely not after any show. But I was calling him just to ask about the Shout House.
Yeah,
and to make sure I was going to the right place.
Yeah. Oh, here.
Because
I
actually
to get some info?
Was trying to call you, but I actually was calling Gene. Well, I was like, well, Gene knows where it is anyway, so
yeah.
I just let the call go through.
You might as well. I was caught up in a comic conversation, like I told you.
Yes.
Everybody after a show, everyone's so stage high. They sit around and they go like, well, another thing that I think about life. And you're like, I know, me too. And we all just hang out and talk, you know, and it's the
I
best
know,
thing ever.
Me
you know?
Too.
Yeah. Very gentle. I was very gentle.
Yeah, that was very
the
old
male
man-ish.
Delilah.
Like,
yeah.
50,
Delilah.
Delilah. Hi,
he
thanks
for Delilah.
Listening.
That's what Rachel called.
Yeah, and okay, the best part about that was Rachel calls me the male Delilah, and to me, I took it as like, that fucking sucks. But Coop was like, don't you dare compliment him like that. Coop was like,
Delilah's been on the radio for years.
He was like, if you listen, and I listened to the podcast the other day, Coop goes like, Delilah's done things with their life, and he's I'm like, all right, faggot. He's like this huge fan, and not a negative faggot, but you know, the funny one. You know,
I'm not a
the
fan.
Unoffensive one.
The unoffensive one. No, it's unoffensive. Please
it's
hear it in
J,
my voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan, but I've been listening in my dad's truck for years.
Yeah,
it's all he fucking listens to. 99.9.
They edit those conversations where the girl calls in and she goes like, "Hi, like my husband Brad. He's been out at work and he's been at the military." I was like, "How about we play a song for him?" And she just cuts. She just cuts her off. And it's
Brad,
like,
it sounds
yeah,
so
it's like, yeah, that's just. But that's what she does. They play like a quarter of the conversation, and then she just butts her dumb head in.
Yeah,
and she just cuts.
Broad.
Yeah,
you win. That's what radio's called. Like I win because I have control over voices.
I do enjoy. Do you guys listen to the radio much, Nate? Do you listen to the radio much?
Like no.
Yeah. No.
I listen to like the oldie shit.
Yeah. Well, that's
I give
cool.
it a shot.
Yeah, I do enjoy.
R&B.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out. Mm-hmm. What else? Like some Barbershop Boys, some doo-wop?
I like every. I what I say is I tolerate or. I like every.
I tolerate.
God damn it.
I tolerate.
I'm feeling this 40, y'all. Yeah.
I'm really drunk myself.
Mate,
my two bugaboos.
You're feeling the 40, but you're talking like you're definitely 30 years old. You're like, what I'd say I tolerate at my age with the experience that I've had.
Hey, Nate, take a drink because that was a real fucking clammy
I'm just going to let you burn for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let it burn.
Fuck y'all.
Usher. Was that 90s? I think that was early 2000s. Damn it. No. What was the question?
Delilah.
No. Totally lost.
Do you listen to the radio much?
Oh, that's a stupid question. No.
What I was going to say is that I noticed. Fuck you guys. Fuck both y'all. The straight hands to both of you.
Hey, get your long hair out of here, boy.
It's tucked up. Thank you. I'm doing the bun now, you know? I'm enjoying the bun.
I was going to. Have you had that the whole time? Like, Who puts their hair in a bun if they don't have boobs?
Oh,
that's
ouch.
What I'm saying.
Are you a samurai? Because if you're not, what the fuck?
Well, you know, Nate, maybe if you went on that date and actually saw a pair of boobs, you wouldn't be so aggressive towards me about them, you know?
It's like a real tight one. That's like a Cinnabon.
Yeah. Nate, find a vagina that's real tight, and you'll have that sweet Cinnabon, you know? It'll be nice.
A real tight one? I guess I can't go to your mom's.
Drink to that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, yo. We should drink to both, though. I'm going to drink to both those, actually. Fuck both of you guys.
Flatten it out. Fuck you,
we can cheers on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's end this fucking podcast.
I wanted to ask Nate one more thing.
Already?
I did not. I completely forgot what I was going to say. So we fucking flatten it out. Nate, what do you want to talk about? Do you have anything you want to talk about? Anything in the entire world?
I'm curious as to what you guys want out of comedy.
This is cool. Interview Coop for a second. Interview me, whoever you want. You talk about whatever
Coop.
You want.
Do you do stand-up comedy? That's a horrible question.
I have done it. No, I do not do it.
So you're just a podcaster, or do you any kind of other venturing into the performance or entertainment?
I did the classes for probably 3 months, and I went probably every Sunday.
Right.
And I finally did a student showcase, and I have the video. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. But right after that, I was like, I can't wait to go up again, all this stuff. And just like you said, 5 months went by, and I was like, and now
when
I'm
was
like
that
stuck
that
in
you
this.
Went up?
I'm stuck in that same place where I'm like,
it was like
fuck,
January, yeah, or like
January this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so was recently.
It? Yeah, around my birthday.
He didn't do bad, but we were trying to give him advice. A lot of people were trying to give advice. Say, like, just go up again. Like, go up again as soon as you can. And he was like,
I really wanted to go up again. I was all excited. I was wanting to hit up open mics because you get that thrill. Because I got a few good laughs, and it just takes 3 or 4 good laughs to, like, oh, yeah, like, I can't wait. Or even just, like, the fun of being up there where you're, like, calling people out. And you're like, hey, shut up. Yeah. But even though I didn't do that at all. But
so then you're doing this out of fun or out of love, or you just – fucking can't escape this guy with a bun in his head.
Me and this idiot have always attracted
out of fun.
Yeah,
we
the fun out of
have
life.
Similar yin and yang personalities in life where we both understand that humility is the only answer to like all your fucking problems. We don't want to hear
interesting.
We don't want to laugh you at cry. Yourself. Yeah. We'd like to hear your story, but we don't want to hear like too much of your story. We want to hear like the good, like I don't know, break it down, you know?
Like you came over
that
here.
That was a challenge. Yeah. Trying to break it down. I didn't know I was going to do my whole life story when I came in, but
that's
great. Fine.
Yeah, it's
you
great
came
though.
Over tonight and you're cool as shit and you're nice
goddamn
to talk
right.
to.
Goddamn right, I'm fucking awesome.
No, you are awesome.
Shout out to myself.
Shout out to Nate.
Shout out to Nate.
Shout out to Nate, for real. No, you come over. You're cool and you're nice to talk to, but you're patient and you're like understanding that like life is fucking what it is. You've had some actual experience and like you said, you hit rock bottom. I mean, in your own mind, that's rock bottom. I don't think in comparison to what we are and what we think is rock bottom, it
what
might be way worse or way, you know, but like. You did your own thing where you hit a point where you thought, you know, I want to do something else. That experience makes you a much more interesting, likable, nice person to talk to. It makes you refreshing
in
comparison.
You got to go through some shit.
For real. And it's nice that you have a cool perspective on life, like, and you're who you are.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Not to get all deep and emotional about it or whatever else, but.
So what do you want, like, why are you doing stand-up comedy in this podcast? Do you want to be a professional stand-up or what's up?
If that happens, that'd be awesome.
And if
but
it doesn't?
If it doesn't. I'll find something else to do.
Like what? What are you gonna do?
I don't know, man. There's a
scariest question, dude.
No, you know what? It's nice though because the reason I like going and doing stand up or whatever else is because I don't know what's gonna happen every night, and I appreciate like the feeling of like it's
the
like fighter. Yeah, the mystery.
It's definitely unpredictable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fight or flight mode, and you just have some fun, and like it doesn't matter. And this podcast we do for fun, and we do it whenever we want, and we do it with whoever we want. And I went on the podcast with you and told him about you, and we thought you were cool to come do this with us.
I'm glad you did.
But that's, you know, yeah, exactly. It was a great time. You look at life like that, and that's how I look at stand-up comedy, and I think that's how he looked at it, and you look at it too. It's very nice. It's very relaxed.
Totally, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Plug your shit. What else you got? Anything? You doing shows? You doing anything?
Just check out, you know, the Working It Out podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or check it out at qtalkamerica.com. Improv show August 11th, Sunday, 7 o'clock. It's weird because some people say I'm better at improv than stand up. And I've been doing stand up almost 3 years and improv for like 6 months. But I think there is something because I've always almost improv in life. Like I've been so weird.
Yeah. Because
I've been so weird in my life.
You see things in humility. Like you might, like, it's just like you said in the beginning of the podcast. You said, you don't talk. Your mom said, you don't talk unless it's important or you're trying to make a joke.
Yeah.
It's because. There's no other reason to talk. Like,
there's honestly.
Other than that, it's just gossip and it doesn't mean a shit. Like,
you hear that, ladies?
Anything.
Yeah. Hey, and don't worry about that fucking girl. She's stupid as fuck and she didn't know what she missed out on.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
I haven't. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a date, but I'm getting together with another lady next week.
Fuck
and I'm just putting myself out there now. At least this girl ignited me. I think people come into your lives. Let's get all fucking weird again.
Do it. No, say it. You
I think people come into your lives for certain reasons. There's really no coincidences if you just open your eyes. And it's hard to recognize everything. And I don't know if it's fate or destiny, but I think the universe does work in some kind of order, some kind of method of the madness. So this girl at least ignited in me, like, the thought of going on a date with somebody just changed my whole mentality. Like, clean my place up.
I know what you mean.
Like, I might even meet a girl today, even though I still don't. I've met, like, two since her. But, like, that's more than I met all fucking year.
Yeah.
So, like, just being single again, I've been changed my mentality. Like, I'm ready to do this. Let's roll. And I probably sound like a loser. Like, who the fuck is
this
guy?
No, you don't, man. You don't sound like a loser.
You sound like a 30-year-old.
That's all right.
Who's looking for a significant other.
Down with brutal honesty. That's my
everything
fucking shit
does come, I think. And here's there's no harm in looking at it like that way. Like, there's no harm in looking at it like that way. You know, like you say, everything happens for a reason. Just turn the volume down. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
There's no harm in looking at it like that way. I think I said that 3 times in a row, so I think that might be worthy of drinking up. We might want to back out of this. Everything does happen for a reason. Nate Evangelista, you're the shit. Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Thank you for having me, son.
Absolutely. Thank you for being
cool. Coop, nice to meet you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shout out. Kindred Spirits.
We're shaking hands.
Awesome. Yeah, shaking hands.
Yes.
Holding hands.
Good play-by-play.
Absolutely.
It did get weird at the end there.
Yeah. Holding hands. It always does. But, you know, that's okay because we've been hanging out, drinking, and having a good time.
Yeah, when you smoke this
much. Yeah. You were the shit. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, shout out to Aylin Gonzalez. Hope you keep doing your thing and keep your head up, boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Cooper, you have anything to drop?
Yeah, son.
Yes, son. All right, Amateur Hour 25, the great Nate Straight Evangelista.
Check out Young Pete on MySpace. It's still up.
Yeah. Nate, find a vagina that's real tight, and you'll have that sweet Cinnabon. You know, it'll be nice.
Holla. I'm feeling this 40, y'all. It did get weird at the end there.
Yeah,
holding
it always does.
Young Pino!
That's fucking right!